Before we start, I need to apologize to Zach Braff because he no longer holds the title for most soul-crushing piece of media that has been on this show. He didn't hold it for long, only one episode, but welcome to the Audi 5000. I'm Frank.
I'm Minerva.
I'm Larry.
Well, I was trying to introduce Minerva as a guest, but whatever. This is kind of two podcasts in one, because...
This is the Watch the Throne of podcasting.
The what?
The Watch the Throne of podcasting. That was Kanye West and Jay-Z's collaboration album.
Ah. Anyway, this is kind of two podcasts in one. It's an episode of the Audi 5000, but it's also the first episode of Alt-Right Book Club. Hooray! Yeah.
That was the least enthusiastic yay I've ever heard in my fucking life.
Yeah. We got a doozy for you for this kickoff episode. Does anybody remember Tucker Max? Kind of started the fratire genre along with Maddox, who has gone insane recently.
Insane, sure.
Yeah. But anyway, his book, I Hope They Serve Beer in Hell, kind of ended up writing the playbook for a lot of this, a lot of stuff that we see these days. Like a lot of the weird, like, MRA, Proud Boy, Red Pill, incel shit.
There's a lot of like blueprints to like pickup artistry in this. This may be one of the first like modern books to like kind of like insinuate that you should insult women to get them to sleep with you. Also known as negging, which is something that works all the time. Sure.
It's interesting because I don't think he set out to create a blueprint for people.
And
talk around the book a lot because the book itself is honestly, it alternates between boring and boring, but going the depths of human degeneracy.
And being a pathological liar.
Well, yeah, that too.
Well, I mean, like, I'm assuming most of these stories are fake or embellished. And they're the fucked up thing is, these stories aren't really even that interesting to warrant, like, making up shit. Like, oh, I made up with a fat chick. Oh, I pooped my pants. Like, cool. Like, you couldn't just lie about stuff like that? You couldn't make up cooler lies than that? I pooped my pants?
We had an incident like that at my job last night. A guy had two shots of Hennessy. He couldn't deal with it. He went to the bathroom, threw up, then put his hands in the toilet, and then tried to give himself a pep talk. See? To the point. Short.
You didn't write a book about it?
Exactly. His friends, they laughed about it, but they weren't, you know, trying to get everybody's attention and bother them about the fact their fan can't handle their liquor.
Wait. You mean you don't drink at a restaurant and then start bragging about how drunk you are and, like, you keep on using the fucking breathalyzer?
Oh, no.
You don't do that?
Never.
Wow.
You don't drink in a diner and vomit in a plant? Yeah, like, the amount of vomit that this guy outputs.
Okay, before we start talking about anything in the book, the cover of the book, kind of decently done, except they maybe could have, like, done a little bit of, like, Photoshop work on a fucking Max's, like, face. Because if you look at it, you see that huge fucking vein popping out on his forehead.
Nah,
and I can't stop looking at it.
That's his testosterone vein. That means he's alpha.
Yeah, that little testosterone gland in his brain.
We need to really, really touch on that because there is nothing alpha about this guy at all.
Oh, no.
Oh, no. This is one of the this is a portrait of one of the most insecure human beings that I've ever read. If this were a work of fiction, it would be genius. And I don't mean a work of fiction in the sense that he's lying about this stuff. I mean, if it were like Portnoy's Complaint, where it was just Tucker Max wasn't real.
Yeah. Even by nowadays standards, this guy would be called a beta. Mostly because he, like, the amount of fuck ups he does almost outweigh how much sex he talks about. Like, yeah, every chapter pretty much involves sex, but like he has to like embarrass himself.
He has to debase himself to get laid.
Yeah. I mean, he has to lie to everyone.
And the amount of times that he calls other people tool in the book is kind of ridiculous.
And the classism in this book is just, it's weird to me.
Oh, is that something we're going to go into?
Oh, definitely.
Yeah, because this whole thing is...
This was the hardest thing I've ever had to read.
I gave up in the middle. I just read the beginning and I read the end. And I couldn't get through it. The problem is like, not only is this guy a horrible piece of shit, but like not even like a funny piece of shit, but just straight up a piece of shit.
Right. There's like content from this era that is like, okay, that's be like where it's like, look at Jackass, for instance. Like Jackass has a lot of like questionable like segments or skits where they're kind of like really asshole, but there's still something kind of redeeming about them. Right. This is not redeeming at all. This has nothing.
Well, I think the thing about Jackass is like that's them doing asshole stuff to each other and not necessarily random people that don't deserve it. Like they all kind of know what they're getting into for the most part.
This is a man inflicting his odious personality on others.
Right. I mean, he has a lot of sex, but like, I don't know. The way he describes it is like he's not even like he's super excited to have sex, but then after sex, it's just like that didn't matter.
Well, yeah, and I think he even says at some point in the book, his dick is the only thing that he cares about. His dick, whether or not it's actively in a vagina, that's it.
That's so incredibly pathetic. And this is a guy that people model their lives after. They're like, I want to be that guy.
Yeah,
I want to shit my pants.
I suppose we do have to decide whether or not or how we want to skin this cat. Do we want to talk about the stuff surrounding the book first? Or do we want to talk about the content of the book?
I say content, then touch on a few things.
Well, there's not a whole lot of content, so it doesn't fucking right. matter. We're going to skip. We're pretty much going to skip through most of it because it's all garbage anyway.
Well, this book has a few highlights for me. It does have a few highlights or lowlights, oh, depending on how definitely. You look at them.
It's very lowlights. But...
The Tucker fucks a fat chick story.
Oh, God.
Where he meets up with this girl who he met from his website and... His friends were saying he has to get laid off of his website. He meets up with this girl. She's apparently fat. He has this inner debate with himself and then decides to have sex with her anyway. And then, even though his friends are being complete assholes about it, she still wants to meet them. He's so insecure about the fact that he had sex with this woman that he throws her clothes out a window and basically forces her out of his house rather than face the fact that he had sex with this girl. Even though he did, and his friends heard it?
Yeah, his friends know anyway.
I was gonna say, there's a lot of weird, like, not just him, but his cousin has an instance of that too, and, like, a couple of his friends. A lot of weird, like, having sex with people and then instantly regretting it, which I don't really get, because if I don't want to have sex with somebody, I just don't do it. And if I have had sex with somebody, then that means that I was attracted to them. That's just kind of how it is. Like, there's no... as my friend Tim would put it, because Tim is basically Tucker Max, there's no slow Tuesday for me. That might just be me, though. That kind of came back in the chapter towards the end where he goes out to that gay bar and that one gay guy points out that he might have had sex with a post-op trans woman.
Oh, God, yeah, I was going to talk about that.
And my thing, I'll let you expound more upon that since it's more your area of expertise, but my thing with that is, like, if you had sex with a girl, you were obviously attracted to the girl, and if you didn't notice, then why does it matter now? It doesn't make you gay. What the fuck?
Okay, so I'm gonna preface this, even though I was kind of debating whether or not I should do it. I am transgender, so... This puts this whole book into, like, a very negative light. Mostly because near the end, he starts talking about, oh, he's probably... Well, since he has sex with a billion women, do the details matter? Does it matter you slept with a trans woman? Anyway, so he's talking to his friend. Or not even his friend. It's just that random gay dude, isn't it?
It's three random gay guys. Like, two that he knows via a friend, and then one rando.
So the whole gay bar scene is like pathetic because, like, it shows that when he's not comfortable getting hit on by other people, like, he starts to feel more insecure about himself. Now, that concept kind of goes into having sex with a trans woman, where there's this really weird mentality that having sex with a trans woman makes you gay. When, if anything, it makes you straight. If we're just going to exclude all the queer theory and all that, he had sex with a woman. But the way this argument, not argument, but the way this like conversation is going, he's like, oh my God, did I have sex with a man? And just, it's disgusting because this is like a little slice of the way the culture was, at least for this kind of shit, back in 2006 when this was released.
I'd hate to break it to you, but the culture's still like that. Like, my brother thought it was gay to get tampons for a girl that he's seeing.
How's that gay?
I don't know. I don't fucking know.
It's the Midwest.
Basically, like, I was, like, kidnapped in the night and taken to the Midwest, but he was born there. He's a St. Joe native. It's baked into him.
I mean, I was born here. I'm still here, unfortunately. But yeah, going back on track, he realizes that a couple of women that he has sex with may have been post-op. And the way he kind of like deduces this in his brain is they couldn't lubricate naturally, so they had to use like he specifically mentions KY, but it doesn't matter. There's a bunch of different lube. I mean, I hope he knows that some women can't lubricate. I mean, some cis women can't lubricate the same way.
I think he did know that. That's why he accepted it.
Are you sure? Because like his grasp on female anatomy is kind of lacking sometimes. Which is weird, since he's apparently all in that puss all the time, apparently. But, like, he's so taken aback from the fact that maybe he had sex with a trans person that it, like, shakes him to the core, and he has to, like, actively try to lie to himself. Just in case. He doesn't even know. He never finds out. He thinks about it, and he's like, that idea is so threatening to my integrity that I'm just going to pretend I'm not going to think about it.
Not just his integrity, by the way. He's, he has to warn people.
Oh, yeah, yeah.
That, like, don't read this if you want to keep your dick intact or whatever.
Dude, and like, that was going to be, like, my jumping off point for this was this whole thing. He kind of talks about how he doesn't care how people think. He just wants to get laid. But this whole book is filled with insecurities.
He cares so goddamn much.
Yeah, no, he legitimately cares. He doesn't care what women think of him. He cares what men think of him. Which, in my opinion, is more gay. But
yeah, whatever. No, that like the amount that he cares what other dudes think of him is, to me, the gayest thing. Like, and that's just bro culture in general. It involves so much performative bullshit, like, fuck calling it gay, I just don't even have time for it.
Yeah, back when I was living as a dude, yeah, it was a lot of insecurity, a lot of don't do this, don't do this, don't do this. And the things that you're not really supposed to do aren't even, like, necessarily, like, they're stupid things to focus on. Like, oh, fucking don't have sex with a tranny, apparently. Oh, don't do this. Don't embarrass yourself in front of your bros. And it's just like, shouldn't you be more worried about women's attention if the whole point is, like, you're aggressively straight like this guy is?
Finger quotes, he's obsessively straight.
I think you're kind of getting towards the root of the issue, is that, like, women are objects of conquest. They're not people who he cares about the opinions of. Like, he only cares about people that he views as his peers, and his peers are all men.
Well, he actually has a couple female friends he calls out. One of them apparently edited the book, which is bizarre.
Yeah, this book had an editor.
It did. Even though its grammar and syntax shit is all over the fucking place.
And here's the thing, I'm 100% certain that there are chicks who are into his shtick. There are women who are the female equivalent of him. He goes insane about that idea in the last chapter of the book. Like, the last chapter of the book is devoted to the fact that he has realized that other women might be screwing around on him as much as he screws around on women. And, like, that just breaks his fucking brain.
It's almost like women aren't, like, this gigantic monolith that you can dissect.
That, my thing is, like, your whole existence is predicated around having as much sex with people as possible. Why is it such a big deal that there are women out there who also want to do that? And, you know,
people in
the comments can spare me with the whole key that opens many locks is a master key bullshit. I will give him this. He is a lot less rapey in this book than I thought he was going to be.
Yeah, I thought this was going to be like, oh, I got her really drunk, and then I persuaded her to have sex.
Like, there are many instances where he has sex with drunk women, but he's also incredibly drunk. So,
right,
that's fine. And, like, the only times where there are people who are acting weird, it's usually actually the women towards him, like, making advances that he doesn't want.
And I do like it whenever he hits on all these women. A lot of the time, he fails. Like, this kind of goes into, like, what we're going to talk about outside the book, the whole thing about negging and game, where you're expected to fail a lot.
Yeah.
And he fails a lot. Like, he, in a book about bragging about how much sex he has, a lot of women turn him down.
Well, that is part of it. Like, that's sex or just dating in general is a lot of failure. I don't think, like, take that message in a vacuum. And I think that's actually a positive thing, that you shouldn't let your failures get you down. And
not at all.
That's basically what incels are people who have let their failings in the dating realm get them down.
It's a numbers game at the end of the
day. Oh, yeah. But the book is predicated on the fact that he's an asshole, but I can honestly, I have so much trouble telling if he's self-aware or not. Like,
I don't think he is.
I don't think he is, but there are moments of it. There are enough moments to convince me that him saying that he's changed and he understands that his youth was not really spent in the best way isn't bullshit.
His youth? Dude, he wrote this when did he write this? When he was like 30?
Something like that.
Yeah, this wasn't that long ago.
Well,
I mean, he was like, what, 30 or 40 when he wrote
it? This book's like over a decade old, so.
Well, he's 43 right now.
Like, a lot can change in that amount of time.
Right.
I'm not saying that it's impossible that he did. The Planned Parenthood thing that he did where it was like, name an abortion clinic after me or something so that he could get a tax write-off. And I'm not even saying that he's, like, evil. I think he's just a garbage person. Like,
yeah.
Like, we all have that one friend who's just kind of shitty. And if you don't have that one friend, you're probably it. But, like, we all have that one friend who's just kind of a shitty asshole who's, like, vaguely misogynistic and a total bro, but you hang out with him anyway because reasons. Like, we all have that guy.
I think the one thing, I think I just find myself just so bothered by, like, his gleefulness of just being shitty. And it's just like, I feel like when I read this book, I felt like I was reading a character, like, not like, because if you've ever watched interviews with him, like, hearing him talk, I'm like, yeah, I just don't buy that you are this, like, asshole.
And that was kind of, I haven't seen Tucker Max interviews, but that was one of the things that killed Maddox for a lot of people, is that when he started a YouTube channel, people found out that he was a bald, thin guy with a whiny voice. And not, like, some sort of jacked-up steroid pirate badass. Yeah, he does take a weird sort of glee in it. Like, he revels in the fact that he's such a shitbag. Which is part of the reason why I wonder if he is self-aware or not. Because, like, to understand what you are doing and revel in it does require an amount of self-awareness. Like, you can't do that unless you know what you're doing.
Right.
It's to borrow from literary ideas, it's a character doing evil things versus knowing that they're evil. And once again, I'm not calling him evil, but you know what I mean.
No, and to be perfectly honest, I really hope he has changed. Because being like this getting married and having a kid, that's legitimately scary.
Yeah.
Like, that kid's, if he's like this still, that kid is going to grow up so fucked up. Oh my God.
Well, if he's like
God
this,
forbid he has a daughter.
He apparently has a son. I don't think he had a daughter. Although he does mention a couple of times that it would be completely justified karmic revenge if he did have a daughter. And that then she dated guys like him. So like that's the thing. There's little nuggets in here that kind of build a picture of someone who is aware of what they're doing and just enjoying the fact that they're doing it. I don't have a problem with the fact that he likes getting laid. That's fine. Like, I'm not gonna double standard the other way and say that, like, a dude can't go out and fuck. Everybody can go out and fuck. Like, if you're an ethical slut, cool. It's the fact that he's a total asshole. Like, that's what really bugs me.
Yeah.
He's just like, it's this, like, look at me aspect. Like, I'm doing something bad. It's like, no one is really that concerned about what you're doing. Like, it's very normal, sans the apparent alcohol abuse.
Oh, he is such a goddamn alcoholic.
I mean, he has to tell you every fucking five chapters, or every five chapters, like, every fucking five sentence that he is drunk, or he is drinking. Like, all these stories is, I got drunk and did a thing. And they're not even, like, interesting, I got drunk and did a thing. Like, I stole the Lincoln Monument because I was drunk. Or, I stole the Declaration of Independence because I was drunk. It's, I had sex, I threw up, someone threw up on me, or I shit my pants. Literally, almost all the stories. That's it.
Yeah. And you know, this is a bit of a digression, but give me the most out-of-their-mind... celestial, galaxy-brained, wake-and-bake, Willie Nelson-ass stoner over someone who drinks this much any day. Because the thing about people who are stoned is that they might clear out your refrigerator, but they're not going to fly off the handle and start beating the shit out of people.
If these are the stories that he wants to put in the book, I really wonder, what does he consider, like, the boring stories?
Those are the stories that are in the two sequels to this book.
Shut up.
Yeah. No, this book has two sequels.
I'm sorry, that's my immediate reaction. Just shut up. Shut the fuck up. I don't want to...
This book has a movie adaptation. It was a direct-to-DVD thing, but it does.
Let me tell you, when I saw the trailer to that movie, and I think the one line was, they were in the strip club, and the guy just goes, he says something to the strip, he's like, dance monkey, dance for your dollar. I immediately was like, yeah, that's the douchiest thing I've ever seen. Click.
Oh, that was Sling Blade, who's a... wonderful piece of work. It's interesting because this book not only defines what a pickup artist acts like, but it defines what an incel acts like, because Sling Blade is the biggest incel creep.
Holy shit. Sling Blade was in the context of this book and a lot of the stories, he was like a couple of drinks away from just shooting up a high school.
Yeah.
Like,
he has the original broadcast of the Columbine Massacre on VHS.
Yeah. He probably hung out on PUA 8. You probably know this guy.
Oh no!
Yeah, I was on there. I can talk about that for a little bit. But let's continue about old Sling Blade.
Oh sure. Like, I've seen that the I Hope They Serve Beer in Hell movie, because I did.
You watched that?
Yeah, I watched it with Chance.
I'm sorry.
It was boring, and the movie basically takes all of the any semblance of bite out of these stories and tries to humanize the characters, which essentially just makes them even more boring than they are. But yeah, that movie rounded off the edges of Sling Blade. Like, in this book, he calls several women who are doing nothing sluts for no reason. He makes terrible ass jokes. He's racist. He's sexist. He tries to steal a beer from a homeless guy.
Yeah. If you guys don't mind, I kind of want to go off on a little thing about Tucker's little bit of racism that kind of, like, unfortunately seeps through a lot of this text.
Yeah, his usage of the word Negro just out of nowhere was like, all right, fuck this book.
Oh, you didn't get to his use of the N-word at the end of the book?
Oh, seriously?
So that does have context. He's hanging out with a dude from Texas. They use it. And then he says the preferred nomenclature is urban and not, and then he uses it. But he still continues to, like, that's not an excuse, that's just context. He was having a heated gamer moment, he was playing Fortnite.
Yeah, no, Tucker Max is the first fucking gamer.
Oh my God.
Rise up. But seriously, like the first chapter, he talks about getting hit on by these two Jewish women, and he constantly points out that they're Jewish. How does he know? I don't fucking know. He probably looked at their nose and went, they have big noses. They're Jewish. And like later on, when his appendix is about to burst, which we need to give proper accommodation to his appendix for almost killing him and ending all this madness, but sadly did not.
In a better world.
He had a nurse who was Asian. English was probably her second language. God. And then he starts talking how she's talking in a broken ghetto accent, I think he calls it. He calls it ghetto.
Yeah.
And I'm like, Jesus fucking Christ, dude. This woman is trying to treat you, and you're like, okay, his appendix is bursting. He's getting upset and mad and yelling. Fine. Like, I so super understand that.
But then he's doing the miso-soli bullshit. Like, there are multiple Asian people who get the ching-chong treatment in this book. Like, what the fuck? But yeah, I totally admit, like, I caught the because I just read it. I literally finished the book 10 minutes before you got on, Larry. But, yeah, I caught the two N-words at the end. When did he use the word Negro? I missed that.
He was talking when they were in Vegas, I think. He mentioned, like, how, like, when sixth grade kids go to dance, you know, kids, how they dance in sixth grade and shit, basically. And he used the word, like, he grinded on her like a Negro. And I just, like, are you fucking serious?
Well, he is a good old boy from Kentucky.
Here is a couple sentences. He was freaking her sixth grade Negro style.
Oh,
the fuck does that mean?
I must have, like, my brain must have elided that one, because that's the thing. I was reading this book last night, like 2 days ago last night and tonight, and the thing about reading this book is that, like, my brain would, like, I'd read it and then my brain would just throw that out and replace any actual thoughts I had on it with just I hate this man over and over.
Oh, exactly. Because it's like everything just bleeds together. We get it. You fuck, you drink, you're casually racist and misogynistic. We get it. Be fucking interesting outside of that. And there's nothing this man has to offer.
No, he's not fucking Ernest Hemingway. He's not running with the bulls in Pamplona or anything. He's just getting drunk and having sex. Whoop-dee-doo.
Oh, yeah, this is something I found out. If you go to Amazon and you go for this book review,
oh god,
someone compares him to fucking Hunter S. Thompson, and I wanted to save that little tidbit until we got recording, because I want to hear Frank die. I want to hear you die inside.
Thank you for making me want to smash my own dick with a hammer. Holy shit. Hunter S. Thompson has wiped his ass with articles that were better than anything Tucker Max has ever written.
Well, no, obviously you're a fucking idiot, and this book is equal to that article about the Kentucky Derby. I completely forgot
the Kentucky Derby is decadent and depraved.
Yeah, yeah. Same thing, really. Fear and Loathing in Las Vegas, that's garbage compared to this.
I completely forgot what the hell I was going to say. Thanks.
Good.
Fuck.
Oh no! Am I gonna have to edit out the snorts? Oh god!
That's up no, to keep them.
But a little nugget of context for his life that we did get is he was born in Kentucky. His parents are apparently rich enough to where they own several restaurants. So
that's what really made me just hate this dude even more.
Yeah, because like I don't like classism in any form, but I especially don't like classism from fail sons who did nothing except get shot out of their mom's crotch into money.
Yeah, honestly, like, you could read Das Kapital, you can read any of the great, like, socialist communist works, or you can read this and understand the pure hatred for the capitalist class. Because if there's anything that's going to be good at convincing people that, hey, maybe we should guillotine and hang all the rich people, it's this fucking book.
That's the litmus test. You sit someone down and you have them read this book, and they're either going to be a socialist at the end, or they'll have enjoyed it, and then you shoot them in the face.
You know what? I read the first 100 pages of this book, and I was like, Bin Laden was right.
Oh man, that's what set him off.
He's right all along. He was the great hero. We should fucking find his corpse. We gotta revive him. But no, I found that fucking review, and I'm not going to blow this guy up on this podcast no one listens to, but here's the name of his review. Max exceeds Hunter S. Thompson at writing about being a degenerate.
Now blow that guy up. I want his address. I will kick his ass.
Dan Berger. He reviewed this January the 2nd, 2018. So he's a little late to the party. Okay.
Who is reading this in 2018? There are.
We are.
Besides us, besides people who are hate reading it, there are so many better chuds that you could go to for your entertainment than Tucker Max.
Rouge-feed.
Read The Gorilla Mindset by Mike Cernovich.
Shut up.
We'll probably read that at some point, by the way.
Oh god, we're gonna have to read like Jordan Peterson.
Strap in. God. Welcome to the nightmare. God.
I pity y'all. That's another thing that I was like reading this book. I was just thinking to myself, okay, this is clearly not for my demographic. Let's just be honest.
Yeah.
I was like, what kind of person A reads this and likes this, and B, what kind of person reads this and thinks I need to be like this kind of person?
I can tell you because I was that guy, sheltered. 7th grade, awkward nerds. That's it. Basically, like, people who either realize that shit like this is bullshit, or they become incels.
Well, I mean, you gotta realize, like, this is also the same demographic as pickup artistry. And who the fuck is reading that? Like, people who can't get laid or get in relationships.
I'm gonna be honest with you. I thought the whole pickup artist thing was like a movie thing. I had no clue it was an actual industry till like.
Unfortunately, it is a real thing. I thought it was a thing that existed in porn. And then I'm surprised to learn it's actually in real life.
And that is your demographic, by the way. This is the penthouse forum for this generation.
Oh, God.
Mm.
I'm just grinding my teeth thinking about it. Well, you know, I can't lie. I was on a podcast with guys like this about 6-7 years ago.
I'm sorry.
Yeah, it was back during my really when I wasn't shitting on Nintendo fanboys because of the Wii and the whatnot. I was like, I was shamelessly plugging my podcast anywhere, and I found PUA Hate. So
we all know that you're secretly Chad Warden.
Oh,
tell us how big your fucking jaw is.
Yeah, what the fuck is?
What's
it?
Your skull
you
size?
Have a negative cancel tilt or whatever?
How big is your forehead? How big is your brow? Tell us. I need to know. I need to know if I'm attracted to you or not. I've never seen
give
you.
Give me the measurements.
I need to know.
Give me the measurements. That's the future of dating, is that you're just going to have a sheet with your like measurements on it, and you're going to hand it to people.
Hey, what's the name of that old-timey science that it was like race
phrenology?
Science? Yeah, we need to bring that back.
They basically have.
I know. It's shitty. It's so bad.
I suppose we should probably get into the meat of, like, the domino effect that this book caused.
At least before we kind of jump off this book, I do want to bring up the fact that if you go on his Twitter right now, I'm talking about Tucker. If you go on his Twitter, he's kind of tried to rebrand himself as, like, this motivational speaker for CEOs after he founded a company. And I think I don't know if he left or got kicked out, but he's not CEO anymore. But he's kind of like try to rebrand himself as this like really like go getter Steve Jobs kind of asshole. But then like he has like a lot of his media presence now. He looks all super nice. He dresses nice. He has a picture of his wife and his kid. But every time I look at that, I think like this guy is a total shitface. And like I can't divorce those two. You don't go from one extreme to that. Unless, one, you're fucking lying about being king of debauchery, like fucking Dan Berger thinks so. Or you're lying about being successful CEO company person. Like, you don't...
Before we leave off on this, two things. One, I'm going to be in Austin, Texas, hopefully in April, and I will track him down just to spit in his fucking face. And then I will call him a plagiarist. Because that's the one thing that has been... Like, it's like a gear in my mind. I'm just like, this is all bullshit. And there's an interview of him on YouTube with that old radio show, Opie and Anthony, where they kind of called him out on it. And he basically he had to start copping pleas pretty much about the whole butt sex story, about how the girl was having sex with him. His boy was in the closet. His boy was laughing so hard that he fell out of the closet and the tape fell out of the camcorder because, you know, that happens. And once he left, they ripped the book up and threw it at him.
Nice. Now, what you should do is you should eat like a shitload of Taco Bell and fiber supplements and then wait until just you're fit to burst and then go to his house and like just shit all over his front porch.
I think that's better. I'm going for that.
See, shitting on your opponents is good practice.
Also, well, I do need to add, I don't want to blow up this man's wife because she has to have sex with Tucker Max and see him on a daily basis. But
she had a kid with him.
Yeah. But she's average looking. She's pretty enough. She's not like fucking amazing. On the Tucker Max hotness scale, she's probably a 4.
More like 4 or 3. Okay. That's something else I want to go into right before we jump off this book, because the end of this book is where things kind of fall apart and it becomes like really disgusting. But yeah, no, his wife, he didn't marry her for looks. Or like he realized he couldn't actually get a super hot wife.
He's a good boy deep down. He's not, this isn't who he is. This is somebody, he's living out a fantasy in this book.
Yeah, he was just following orders. He didn't mean to shoot that guy in Auschwitz from the guard tower.
Yeah, I was going to say he didn't mean to gas the Jews. Whoops. No, but seriously, like if this guy had no influence and no one's ever heard of this book, I would be infinitely okay with him lying and making up this fucking character. But the problem is, this influenced society. This led us to the weird fucked up hellverse we're in right now.
He got on like primetime news as like an expert analyst on why people cheat. It's mind-boggling.
Honestly, he might, like, if you were to get him on as an expert in anything, why people cheat might be a good one.
That's a good point.
But I will, like, I'm going to lay this at his feet, at Maddox's feet, and at Dick Masterson's feet, and anyone else who was in that wave of, like, fratire, which is what the genre was called. I Hope They Serve Beer in Hell is directly responsible for Donald Trump being president. As is the alphabet of manliness and whatever the fuck Dick Masterson wrote, which I think was called Men Are Better Than Women. I can't remember.
No, honestly, like, you can blame this for the reaction that fucking Gillette commercial is getting.
Oh, God. The least offensive commercial.
Wait, do you know what we're talking about?
I know exactly what we're talking about.
Yes, I do.
Yeah, like I was saying, the entail. And in his appendix, not the one that bursts, but the damn it, I couldn't hold it together.
It's pretty much a burst appendix. The burst appendix at the end of this book.
Holy shit, I'm laughing way too hard at that. Here he explicitly rates women 1 to 5 stars. Actually, there's a 0 star, so technically there's 6. But this is basically your 10 scale that you see a lot on the internet of kind of like rating women, which is super degrading. But honestly, some women do that to men. So
everybody rates people superficially. I'm not going to dog on him for using the 1 through 10 scale.
Yeah, because growing up, like, I mean, in the era we grew up in, like, it's one of those things we all kind of did.
Unfortunately, I did that a lot when I was younger. I was kind of a shit.
I didn't remember the specifics of this scale, but I used this exact scale.
See, the problem was, when I was growing up, this book would have spoke to me. Do you imagine how different my life would have been if I, like, sat down and actually read this book instead of, like, kind of hearing about it? You know how fucked up I would have been?
Yeah, I'm impressed that I'm not. Like I said, I own this book. I found my copy. And right before I was going to throw it out, we decided to do this.
You are going to throw it out, right?
I'm going to burn it. I'm going to burn it and record it.
Oh, thank God. Well, what I was wanting to talk...
I'm going
to
put a filter over the video. Frank's going to send it to me. I'm going to put a filter over the video, put some of that cool, chill hip-hop the kids like.
Yeah. No, I fucking love that.
I need to somehow see if I can get 2 takes. One with the chill hip-hop and one where it's just like the low drone of... onboard camera microphone as I scream about how Tucker Max sucks and I'm not gonna watch his or read his books anymore, like that guy in Queens who was throwing out that picture of Robert De Niro. I ain't gonna watch your movies no more.
Think like it's weird because I remember growing up reading skateboard magazines, and I think that's what kind of steered me away from like fuckboy shit like this.
Dude, you got lucky.
I think my thing is just a good, healthy dose of critical thinking skills. Like, I realized that this was crap, and I realized that even if it wasn't crap, it wasn't going to work for me. I'm too nice to be a dick to people like he is. And it did work out for me in the end, so I guess I feel like I picked the right path. Like, reading through this, after I was done reading for the night last night, I just looked at my girlfriend and I said to her, you know what reading this book makes me think? It makes me thankful for you, because this is a life of complete vapid bullshit that I don't have. Like,
here's the thing. I've been friends with Frank for a while, and I'm going to blow you up a little bit. When Frank is sweet, he is the sweetest person I've ever fucking heard in my life. It is so nice listening to him talk about his girlfriend. He loves her, and it's like, aw. I'm probably going to edit this out because it's kind of embarrassing.
Yeah, you're taking away my callous, sarcastic asshole image that I've worked to craft over the years. What are you doing?
I'm sorry, I'm blowing you up. I'm a guest, but I'm speaking more than both of you. I'm very sorry.
I love how wholesome this is.
I know. but like,
I really do. No bullshit.
But getting back to this fucking book.
Getting back to the bullshit.
Let's ruin that moment. So the 5-star rating actually has an other category, a 0-star, aka a wildebeest. I'm going to read this sentence for sentence, word for word, just to show you how fucking disgusting this is. The lowest of the low, a 1-star, parentheses, common stock pig, with a terrible personality, qualifies as a wildebeest. They should all be put to sleep. This is that loud, disgusting fat girl in the bar who smokes, orders complicated drinks, and then spills them on everyone. This isn't part of the paragraph, but I'm pretty sure Tucker Max and other pickup artists have done that before. But we're going back. And it's generally just so annoying that you have to actively restrain yourself from kicking her in the crotch and stomping on her throat until she drowns on her own blood. There is no insult too mean and crude for her, and basic human rights do not apply to her.
Tucker Max shit in an entire hotel bath, like an entire hotel lobby.
That is some incel shit. That is some, I'm going to murder a bunch of women and have a bunch of fucking dweebs on the internet praise me as a saint. I read that. I got to the end here. I read that and I'm like, oh my God, it just gets actively worse.
By the way.
And what's stopping from other women saying, hey, you're a 0-star. What was he going to do?
If he can't take a joke, then fuck him, right?
Because he's a beta bitch.
By the way, he blows his entire premise of that rating scale because it's supposed to just be based on appearance. It's not supposed to take their personality into account. It says that at the start of the that part of the appendix. Also, what were you going to say, Larry? Ted Bundy?
Ted Bundy was more considerate of women's feelings than Tucker Max.
Hey, is Ted Bundy the one that ate them? Or am I thinking of the other one?
You're thinking of Jeffrey Dahmer and a few others. And that was specifically like gay black men he would like target.
Ah.
Mm.
Because, you know, cops wouldn't give a shit.
So he's like that one dude, that Democrat donor in L.A. who's targeting all those black, like gay black guys and having them overdose on meth at his house.
Yep.
Jesus.
Wow, I did not know, but I don't want to know.
Because he's wealthy, he's going to get away with it.
Oh, of course.
Well, yeah. I mean, if you want to know real-life cheat codes, just have money, idiot. Be born into a wealthy family.
That was the one thing that I was, like, reading this book. It was just like, yeah, the only way I could see, I'll say 25% of this, like, being, like, working or being legit or game is if you have some, you come from money. Like,
and he does. Like, this is not a guy who had to work his way through college. The closest thing that he, like, the closest gesture he makes towards having a job is that law, essentially an internship that he was at, where he still acted like a jackass and got kicked out of at the end of it.
Well, he has enough money to blow on alcohol every fucking night, drive nice cars, and fucking all this, like, go on trips whenever.
Yeah, he can just, like, apparently just go on trips whenever the fuck he feels like it. Like, I guarantee you he went straight from having his parents pay for everything to, like, his writing career, and I use finger quotes.
Fucking anyone can write a book, Frank.
I know.
This guy is like Drake. We don't know who's writing what, who he got this inspiration from.
It's kind of like Kanye, because you don't know.
He was also in Degrassi.
Shut up. Shut the fuck up.
He played Spinner.
I was going to say, like, legit, kind of like Kanye. I was kind of making a joke, but the more you think about it, like, Kanye, I don't know who's the real Kanye. I don't know if he's a crazy asshole or someone who's, like, painfully self-aware or not.
It's kind of a mixture of both.
I think who's the real Kanye depends on whether or not he remembers to take his Halidol.
So he's kind of like a quantum Kanye. Like, it just depends on how you're observing
it. Yeah. Schrodinger's Kanye.
Shut up.
But I
kind of want to go back to that rating system before we start talking about everything else. I'm going to preface this. I am a huge lesbian. Not into dudes. This guy is not that attractive. He's like a 3 on his own scale. He's like a 3 or not even a 4. He's kind of a 3.
Got a big old Jay Leno chin.
I'm sorry. I'm known for doing comparisons, but he kind of looks like the type of guy who's like in the softcore porns on like Showtime HBO, like the face.
Oh, he's an extra fucking in Rome or something.
Hi, Nikki Nova. Nice to meet you.
I wonder if I have seen him in a few pornos, or at least his face. But yeah, like, he's not even really that attractive. And like, his shit personality, at least at the time of writing this book, that puts him pretty low on the scale. So I don't understand why he would like abide by a system that, I mean, unless he thinks he's like a 5 or something, like he's alpha male catch, which this whole book is showing you that he's a beta bitch and he's not alpha at all.
He's a good boy. Like I said, he's somebody I truly believe he was one of those. I'm not saying this guy never had sex or got laid at all or anything like that. I just feel like he highly exaggerates his own self-worth to make himself more interesting because he's just a boring, unimaginative rich dude.
Here's my working theory on it. He probably had, like, the encounters in here that aren't just like miscellaneous filler, he probably had. But the people involved were way less attractive than he's making them sound.
That's understandable.
Like, his one is probably like a fucking horrific looking nightmare creature compared to what he's actually having sex with. Because honestly, that's the only way that like a lot of this shit makes sense. But I was just going to say, I was going to ask if we were ready to move on, but if you have something to say.
There's one more thing I want to say. In the author's note at the very beginning, at the very end, he says, I hope you enjoy reading this as much as I enjoyed living it. This whole book is a fucking lie because he obviously did not enjoy a lot of this. Do you enjoy getting hit on by gay guys or having sex with a post-off trans woman? Did he enjoy getting his dick puked on? He loved that. But then the time that he almost gets killed by a bunch of bikers, I was praying that the bikers would kill him and they were writing the end of this book. I was hoping. That would be a great twist. That, and it didn't happen. So fucking let's just go on. I'm getting mad. I'm getting legit mad at this.
I'm getting angry because it's like, of all the people who could have got this spotlight, of all the great books that we just skim over or don't notice, a lot of authors could have made something out of the spotlight this asshole got.
It's like the Zach Braff thing again, where it's like, literally anyone else could have gotten this. Fucking Sid Lexia could have gotten this notoriety. And it would have been better. But
wait, what does Zach Braff do?
Garden State, which, that look at Garden State will come out soon, but that's a movie.
Oh, it's coming. It's coming.
But anyway.
Yeah, let's skip. Let's go.
So now we follow the Rainbow Bridge over to the cultural implications of this book. And like I said, I do believe that this book and those of its ilk are responsible for Donald Trump being president and the current predicament that society finds itself in. Because if you start at this book where it's just a guy showing how much he gets laid by being an asshole, then the PUAs take that shit, commodify it, and are able to either have success with it or have enough veneer of success to where the guys who are all, like, the red pill guys pick up on it, and they're like, oh, this is how attracting women actually works. Those red pill guys, some of them are successful, a lot of them aren't, because this shit doesn't actually work. Though they get pissed off, and they get black-pilled and become incels. Here we are.
So, this book has a bunch of negging in it, which, if you don't know what negging is, bless your soul. Bless you. It's when you purposely try to break down a woman's ego by insulting her, thus increasing your chances of having sex with her. The weird thing is like, the whole pickup artistry is insulting the woman that you want. Which it seems kind of paradoxical, but like to fuck boys like this, and he is a fuck boy. Let's just get that out of the way. He's a fuck boy, and all that matters is that he got his dick wet. So there's negging, but like I was talking about, the whole reason I kind of went on this little tangent about the rating system is because that is like the core. That's like the deep seed of incel. Like you could see where that fucking grew into this poisonous tree that's like, you can see where that came from. The women are to be graded and insulted and had sex with. Ugly women, but you kind of like twist that to ugly men don't deserve rights. They deserve to die. It gets in this weird black pill thing and this weird bougie, like, I'm going to go around and drink a lot because I have some money. And, like, you could see a lot of the fucking beginnings of this, how this, like you said, how this poisoned society for a lot of people.
Yeah, I think that a lot of young guys read this book in their most formative years where, they're going through puberty, their body's changing, they're getting interested in girls, they're learning how to navigate the often inscrutable world of dating and talking to women, and this book does not really set you up well for that. Because the thing about Tucker Max, and the reason why his shit works, is because he has confidence. That's it. He has confidence, and he's basically using a method by which he's essentially set up his own, like, game, for lack of a better word, to screen out women who have self-respect. That's what it does.
Right, because he talks about women who, like, get onto his bullshit, and he doesn't really pay a whole lot of attention because he knows he's not going to have sex with them. Like, if they're kind of intelligent and they know what he's doing, and trust me, when you go out dating, women know what you're doing. Dude, don't try to lie to yourself that women, we don't know what negging is. We know what negging is.
Like, all of the women that he has sex with in this book, they are either, like, they either want laid like he does, or they're stupid. Like, the only negative trait that he consistently ascribes to all of the women that he's with is that they are dumb. And I believe that because they're with him.
Well, here's the thing. In any woman who he describes as ugly and has sex with them, they won. They won in the end. They got what they wanted. They got sex. And he ultimately, like, won a little bit more since he wrote a book and made a bunch of money off this.
Yeah, for all we know, the fat chick could have been like, I'm going to fuck this stupid guy from the internet.
trust me, that happens way more than you think.
Holy shit, she did, because she was a fan and she got to fuck him.
Even if she wasn't a fan, she could have just been like, wow, this is an easy lay. It could have been for her book of stories that exists somewhere else, not in our corner of the internet.
I would read that.
Yeah, that would honestly be more interesting.
See the weird mirror-verse version of this. But, like, all those women that he, like, constantly insults and has sex with, I mean, they won, too. Like, they set out to have sex. They had sex. It's weird, because this whole thing is, like, women are a resource for me to fuck. They should be insulted, they're dumb. In the context of him lying, kind of lying. Yeah, he is lying about having oral sex with that really young chick and just lying to her about it. About that doesn't count as real.
Oh,
sex.
I did forget that Sling Blade tries to commit statutory rape, by the way.
Oh, yeah, where Sling Blade, like, gets turned down, and then he's like, I legitimately hate women. Like, he goes on this rant, like, this incel, I'm going to Elliot Rodger this woman rant about women.
Well, Sling Blade is the prototypical incel in that he thinks that any woman who has had sex is a slut. It's weird. Like, any woman who doesn't like him is out of his league. Any woman who is giving him the time of day because they're like they have some sort of weird misplaced attraction to him is a slut. It doesn't make any sense. It's a self-defeating mechanism.
Is there anything more sad than a fuckboy who doesn't get laid?
No. Like Shakespeare.
As someone that has been considered called a fuckboy numerous times, I'm going to have to agree with you.
This poisoned the well so much. And like I said, if I read this when I was growing up, I would have turned out worse. Would I have transitioned? Would I have been happier? Would I become an incel?
You would have been miserable.
Would I have shot up a school?
Eh.
Like, holy shit. Like, I think I fucking dodged a bullet there, but like, how many kids didn't? That's I know that's kind of fucked up to be like, oh, kids, school didn't dodge a bullet. I wasn't trying to make a joke, but like, I guess I'm making a joke now about it. But I mean, I don't want to sound overly dramatic, but how many minds developing young guys, how many did this fuck up?
How many went out and like tried the pickup artist shit without being conventionally attractive or at least attractive enough to where having the ability to throw money around makes up for the rest of it, and then just failed utterly because it doesn't work as a way to attract women. It just works as a way to screen women who are attracted to you down to the ones who will fuck you like that night.
This book, really popular, spread a lot, still in physical media. Now, nowadays, the similar message gets spread way faster on the internet. It gets seen by way more people and is, to be honest, making the problem infinitely worse.
Yeah, because this book, like, if you accept its narrative, it becomes part and parcel with the message that if you aren't as successful at getting laid as him, or if you don't have any success with it, with getting laid at all, then you are not manly, worthless, you're a beta. You're a beta cock.
Which doesn't make any sense.
No.
No, it doesn't. Because it's based off that fucking captive wolf study. Turn out to be, as far as
and these
the
are
actual
all...
study goes, it's pretty nonsensical. It doesn't apply to really anything besides captive wolves, and it doesn't even really apply to that.
And you could tell that these people are not that bright because they take everything at face value. It's just like porn with them, basically. They think
they take what this loser says at face value. But when any woman tries to tell them, like, hey, look, that's dating's hard. That's not really how it is. We don't all judge you on the way you look. They don't. They're programmed to not believe women when they talk.
Well, women only fuck Chad. Women lie.
That woman won't have sex with me because my brow is not big enough.
Like, no woman gives an ounce of a fuck about that.
They don't.
When I was posting on PUA Hate and like shamelessly plugging my podcast at the time, I was just dumbfounded at the shit these guys like believed. Like, it was just angry for the sake of being angry and just buying into a lot of cynical shit, not even just regards to dating, but just people in general. But I wanted to get out of it, you know, I wanted to get out of it. And when I came across that shit, I guess in a like a Schadenfreude kind of way, I was like, well, you know, I'm pathetic, but at least I'm not like these fucking guys who watch these videos of like cold approaching and all this other nonsense. It's just like, well, that's how, you know, you got to do it. That's how it works. And then you're just like, no, like he paid that girl he walked up to. That's why she's mic'd up and you can hear her clear as day. To see these guys lash out and get mad at the fact that it doesn't work, as opposed to thinking like, you know, maybe I should just try something else. And we got to talk about another phenomenon. I noticed a lot of this like YouTube shit does, and it's for all of it. It's from like just not even just dating, from like the whole like entrepreneurship or the whole mindfulness. It's all about, if you notice, slowly isolating people, like further isolating them from the rest of society.
Yeah.
Like it can go from like race or gender or politics. Like, you know, don't hang out with betas. Don't hang out with this guy. He might be a quote unquote cuck or whatever. This guy, this person's this way. Like it's all about slowly atomizing people, mostly men in this case, to further get them away from empathizing and looking at everyone as a collective as opposed to just singular individuals that are in competition with each other.
Well, yeah, there's all a very Darwinist streak underneath it.
Well, I mean, like, that's how you radicalize a group of people. You separate them, you give them a common narrative, a common enemy, and go, that enemy is the reason you're so fucked up.
Yeah. I can't blame Tucker Max for all of that shit. Like, he was just a reflection of a lot of the attitudes that pervaded culture at that time and still do. It's really the PUA guys who took it and distilled it and sold it as a blueprint that will automatically work to, you know, awkward fucks. The inherent idea that if you can't get laid using this blueprint, then something is wrong with you.
Well, here's the thing. You kind of can blame them just as much as you can blame the scientists who wrote the dissertation on the positive effects of eugenics and then how the Nazis were like, hey, you know what? Eugenics is really cool. You can kind of blame that original person. He didn't have to write this. He didn't have to make a shit ton of money off this. He didn't have to be famous for this.
Well, he didn't have to, but like...
He did. So, yeah, he gets a little bit of the blame.
A little bit. He's not directly
responsible. But he's not smart enough to engineer this shit. He's not this, like, galaxy brain fucking operator who's like, I'm going to influence society and make it worse.
See, because that's what I thought this book was. I thought this was, like, some, like, quasi... I thought it was, like, GQ for fuck-ups, basically.
Yeah, that's pretty close, actually.
I don't know. My thing with... It's just all gross. It's all really gross, and it does come down to atomizing people, because none of the fucking, like, Tucker Max, like, how he acts, or none of the fucking pickup artist guys, or Jordan fucking Peterson, none of them advocate for just fucking talking to women. Like, it's either here's how you fuck them, or here's how you keep their weird, chaotic influence from... destroying your lobster life.
I think the pairing with Jordan Peterson and lobsters is the funniest fucking thing. It's great. But yeah, a lot of this book and a lot of his influences and a lot of the popular fucking, I'm gonna say it, toxic masculinity.
Oh, you said the meme line, Jordan, and I creamed my meme shorts.
I said the meme. Well, it's fucking true, so fuck you. Like, this is,
and,
like,
and by the way, that's how you know that whole, like, what I call that soft pop, like, misogyny type shit, where it's like, oh, men are calm and rational. That's how you know that it's not true at all, and it's just a front. Like, it was never about being intellectual or rational at all. It was just about them pounding their dick with, like, a dictionary, basically.
Well, I think that, like, it's always, like, the idea of traditional masculinity, the kind espoused by this, like, Tucker Max's bro culture, or the kind that Jordan Peterson is talking about when he talks about going back to when men were men. It's all about standing in stark relief to everything that is feminine. That's why it's so othering, is because you must be different from the girl. That's the whole point.
I mean, why do you think, like, trans women get shitted on? Like, and you don't really hear that much about trans men or any person who's any kind of masculine and trans man, whatever.
I honestly think that part of the reason why you don't hear about trans men as much is because, A, unfortunately, they do tend to pass better. Like, there's a lot more body, there's a lot more allowance for different body types and looks when it comes to men than when it comes to women.
It's easier to go from estrogen to testosterone than from testosterone to estrogen.
Yeah. That and
way easier.
Also, like, there's no risk of any of these guys fucking a trans man because they don't want to have sex with men.
Yeah, they're so aggressively straight that it becomes kind
finger
of gay.
Quotes.
it becomes almost gay.
It's like horseshoe because theory.
I care about what men think a lot.
Because I'm sorry, like, I engage and I debate and I insult these kind of guys that feel like everyday masculinity is just being jizzed on by the beta cucks and the feminist. And I'm sorry, but it has become so abundantly clear how fucked up a lot of guys are from this shit. And they don't have to be. I think the thing is, they're extremely hard on themselves when they don't have to be.
Oh, yeah. Like, Let me put forth a question to both of you. Have you ever cared about the amount of alcohol that someone else has drank? Because no. I sure as fuck haven't. But I know a lot of guys who are like, "Oh, no. You're not drinking anymore, pussy bitch."
Yeah.
And if you notice, like, a lot of the insults, like cuck or beta or pussy or bitch, a lot of them is, you're a man, your masculinity is threatened by any kind of femininity. And like I was saying, that's kind of the part of the reason, like, what trans women get shit on, because, like, men take it as this weird offense to them that maybe this woman that they're attracted to, oh, no, oh, she might be trans. That brings out such a vitriol.
It's the gender equivalent of, if you don't like it, you can get out.
Sure.
Also, it's one of these things that it just completely bothers me. I find it so hilarious that they use cuck as an insult, because as we can all tell on this fine platform, to call a man a cuck doesn't make sense, because he's essentially a man letting you have sex with his girlfriend. He knows that his wife fucks around and watches.
Yeah, he likes
that.
An actual right, cuck, like, wants you to do it.
And some like the rejoinder to that, if I may play Jordan Peterson's advocate for a second, would be that the only reason this man enjoys that is because society has poisoned his brain via cultural Marxism or whatever.
Cultural Marxism, that literal Nazi conspiracy.
And even though cuckoldy goes back to like the 14th century, if not even further back.
Don't ruin my feels with your facts, sir. You know, ironically enough, the only person that the insult cuck wouldn't work on is an actual cuck. Because mm-hmm. they'd just be like, yeah, what's okay, your point? Cool. It's like calling a gay guy gay.
No, let's be honest. Like, if this book was a little bit more crass, he'd be using the word faggot a little bit more.
Oh, God, yes.
Oh, see, that's what he's smart about that. That's what it's like, one of those things that these quote unquote un-PC PC people love to do. They're too afraid of any pushback, so they essentially conform or submit to the very PC culture they despise. Hence the term right. Soy boy becoming popular.
He gets right up to the line of acceptable discourse. Right up, just fucking like kissing the Blarney Stone, just right there.
Wait, yeah, and that's kind of important to put out there, because you see that in a lot of internet discourse, where a lot of white, like literal white supremacists, I'm not talking about people who are almost accidentally race realist, but like they have to code their language in such a way that it's, I can't reveal my power level. I just can't say, hey, you know, maybe all these Jews, maybe Hitler was right. Maybe they do deserve to get.
Well, that's why you hear a lot about globalists.
Or thug or ghetto. Yeah,
or like he even says it in the book. Don't use the N-word, say urban.
Yeah, yeah, no. And then he calls that Asian nurse who's later on helps to save his life, because a appendix will kill you if it bursts, like it did. He's like, oh, she speaks in that broken ghetto English. I'm like, cool, dude. Like, you're gonna insult one of the people working to save your life. Like, is your racism that important? At least he's like, don't touch me, yellow fiend. Like, I'm surprised, like, he has just enough restraint to code his language in a way where he's not flat out using insults, like racist insults and derogatory terms.
He's using
terms.
those soft liberal, like, ways of describing people.
Yeah.
Pretty much. He's coded just enough to seem civil when he's obviously not. And honestly, like, his later statement saying, like, hey, look, I was shitty. Fine. I would kind of get that. That still doesn't excuse you for making money off this still today, because obviously that one dude bought in 2018.
Yeah, he's still selling the book. Like, unless all of those copies on Amazon are used, which, I mean, they could be.
Brand new.
Yeah, so he's still selling the book. Like, it's like how Maddox disavowed the alphabet of manliness because it didn't conform to his new values. He's still selling it. You can't disavow something and then still make money off of it. That's not how it works.
Give up the rights. Stop selling it.
Donate the money to a noble cause that isn't a nonprofit.
Honestly, that's probably the best thing you could do in this kind of situation. If you're legitimately embarrassed by something you put out, you own up to it and fucking don't try to benefit from it anymore.
Yeah.
But he does.
Like,
so every time he talks to people about being an entrepreneur and a CEO, I see this. I see fucking fat Jewish women, ghetto English. I see, oh my God, I had sex with a trans woman. Am I gay? That's what I see.
I see a very small man trying to make himself look really big.
I see a really small man with a big gigantic vein in his forehead. Jesus Christ, I can't stop looking at it. I know that's shallow, but this whole guy is like ragging on people for their looks, and he looks like some kind of like Frankenstein monster that didn't get sewn right. Like, fuck.
Frankenstein is haunting my penis.
Wait, what?
One of those books on Amazon, like Frankenstein is haunting my penis.
Dude, we're eventually going to have to read some of those like Velociraptor dinosaur porn books. I've been wanting to read those legit. So it's basically erotic novels with dinosaurs.
No. I know which one we're going to read. It's not one of those ones that are by that guy. There's a book where it's a dude who like has sex with dragons that also transform into roller coasters.
Dude, how did you know my fetish?
Did you write that book?
Maybe. No. Is there? I wonder if there's like a lesbian equivalent of that. There has to be, right?
I don't know. Like, you want to grind up against the giant donut in on top of Randy's donuts?
Say grind again.
Grind.
Okay, we had that little clip isolated. That's good.
Thank you.
No problem.
So, do we have any closing thoughts?
Go the fuck outside.
Talk to women. Engage in their personalities. Like, find out allow what they
yourself,
like.
Allow yourself to feel vulnerable. No one's gonna judge you.
Except, like, if you're running around with a group of people that will judge you, don't hang out with those people. They're not doing you a fucking favor. They just want to kind of bring you down because life sucks. And life sucks not for these fucking reasons.
And also, please understand that getting laid, even in copious amounts, will not fix everything in your life. Like, yeah, sex is fun. I enjoy it. But it's not some sort of magical panacea that heals all wounds. Like, if you are a fucked up person and you have sex, congratulations, you're a fucked up person that has had sex. That's it.
Like great, you could go jack off and get the same experience. Like, you're not going to remember it.
Also, my true final closing thought is that being able to take a woman's bra off with one hand is easy and you shouldn't brag about it.
No. Doing it with your teeth? That's impressive.
Yeah, that's difficult.
One hand? No. Trust me, I've worn enough bras to know that's not that fucking impressive.
Doing it with the tip of your penis? That's impressive.
Oh, yeah.
If she has bed bugs in her house, just look at them as like friendship tickles or something. Just ignore them.
This is coming from personal experience.
All of those bed bugs get to say like, hey, that guy had sex. And that's the whole point of this fucking book, right? It's like, look at me. I had sex.
And remember, if you're fucking in a car, the best way to cover it is use blankets and just say you're looking for something in case somebody knocks.
Did you want to go in more on your time on the PUA hate forums, or are we good?
Just if y'all want to. It's nothing too spectacular. It's just the fact that a lot of them were boring. The podcasts on those that site were just incredibly dull.
I'm fine with it.
I can recreate one. I can recreate an entire podcast right now from there.
Do it. I've talked way too much.
All right, hold on. Let me Give me like a talking point that they would talk about.
Same sex bathrooms.
Yeah, no. Let's go with
the trans bathroom.
Either same sex bathrooms or trans people in the bathroom.
All right. This is exactly how those podcasts were.
I'm so excited.
So have you seen on the news about this stuff about same sex bathrooms? It's weird. What?
Wow, that was so convincing. I'm starting to hate women already. Holy shit. It's working right away.
Yeah.
Everyone, I'm detransitioning, okay? I'm announcing it this first time here.
So I downloaded some of The Secret last night, and I've been realizing that women are kind of stupid and dumb. We're actually going to have a pickup artist, Russell Reaffirm. He's going to be on the show. He's going to talk about how he went to Columbia. That's cool. We're going to get him in here now. And that's basically an episode.
Fucking ASMR misogyny.
Basically. I kind of remember the one guy. His name was Super Joint Ritual. I remember that name. Yes.
Okay,
yes.
No lie, that's a cool fucking name.
Yeah. I remember calling him out because he said the N-word a lot on his show. Like, I was on another podcast and he came through and I was just like, yeah, so you like to use that word a lot. What's up with that? And he just dodged the shit out of that question. He was just like, hey man, look, you know, it's just jokes. And
Heritage not
so
hate.
What are you guys talking about?
Shut up. Shut the fuck up. I have heard that so many fucking times. Dude, I live in Missouri and I still see Confederate flags.
There are Confederate flags in upstate New York.
In Pennsylvania, which blows my fucking mind. In New York. Like, that blows my mind. Canadians. There are some Canadians with that. I'm like, holy shit, dude. The thing that always stuck with me from growing up was, Frank, do you remember that time I went to McDonald's? They had that gas station a part of it. And we saw that knife. And it was a bald eagle in front of a Confederate flag. It was some commemorative knife.
Commemorating the fact that you fucked your cousin.
No, it was like the bald eagle, symbol of American justice, freedom.
Bald eagle, a symbol. Yeah, I remember it. The bald eagle, a symbol of freedom. The stars and bars, a symbol of incest.
But it was super weird. It's like, I'm proud to be an American. Here's my Confederate flag. Like, no, dude, you're not.
Well, for a lot of people, the Confederate flag is real America. That's the America they want to go back to.
But my closing thoughts, this book is incredibly toxic. This could have poisoned me when I was younger. I'm really glad I dodged that bullet. But I just want to say that the whole tangent at the end where he may or may not have sex with a trans woman, he never finds out because this is all made up bullshit anyway. The very fact that he's questioning if he's gay or that's an insult to his masculinity, that may seem like a joke, but that gets people killed. It's not funny.
Now, the fact that the fact that he thinks that he can be made gay via external factors doesn't make any sense.
Well, I mean, some people believe like conversion therapy works, which it doesn't. It's kind of a similar thing.
I just realized something. The people who think that you can be made gay by being exposed to like gay society shit are the same people who think that conversion therapy works.
Well, it's the same religious people that go, being gay is a choice. And therefore, according to my book that barely talks about it, you're making the wrong choice. And therefore, you should not get the same rights, and I should publicly hate you.
Yep.
That's what that whole last part of the book, it just gets disgusting with that. And I'm not going to lie, as a trans person, this is hitting me a little bit harder than you guys probably, but like, that gets people killed. It's not funny.
Oh, no, absolutely not.
It's fucking disgusting. Like, it's kind of funny in a sense of like, this guy is a total beta. And he cares way too much.
He's definitely a power bottom.
Oh, dude, definitely. Dude, like, I've met some power bottoms, and he is definitely one of them.
His reaction to it is what's funny, but, the implication for the rest of society at large is not.
This is a uniquely kind of, like, gay or queer or trans experience, but having someone be surprised that you're gay or you're trans and having them see you, like you can kind of see the gears in their brain working in a bad way. Like they're grinding against each other. They haven't been used in a very long time. That is legit scary because you don't know what the reaction is going to be.
Yeah.
And Tucker Max, fortunately, just kind of has like a crisis of conscience. Well, not a crisis of conscience. He's not sorry for any of this garbage, really. But he kind of has like a crisis of faith, like his own weird man faith about his dick. That's fine. But at least he goes, oh, trans women also belong as a zero star and they don't deserve rights and we deserve to fucking stomp them in their throat. At least he doesn't go there.
Yeah.
And he doesn't say tranny, which is kind of cool. Like, cool, you fucking coded your language enough.
Not enough for me, personally.
I was going to say, you think he did that on accident or on purpose?
And I think the editor probably was like, there was definitely some cleaning up of this, to be honest.
Oh, yeah, that's like where the editor came in. She just edited out all the racial slurs.
Dude, you know that first chapter is like, so these large-nosed Jewish-breasted women were fucking looking at me. And she's like, no, oh no, oh no. I have to give her props for editing this. She read it and edited it. I mean, she could have done a better job, but like, there's only so much. You would have to be an alchemist to turn this fucking crap into gold.
Yeah. Well, I think at this point we're just beating a dead horse. Are we ready to call it?
And I'm angry.
Yeah.
Yeah. Let's just call it.
I was gonna ask if anybody had anything to plug, but this is our media, so.
I was also gonna say this is why men should never go in the woods and form drum circles with each other. And anybody who talks about going back to nature or going back to a hunter-gatherer society, fuck you.
We've already eaten the apple of Eden. We can't go back.
No one wants to go back.
I mean, some people do, but they're fucking idiots. I'm sorry. Yeah, we can be more with nature and not fucking killing our planet. Like, that's an easy bar to set. If this is a weird testament of how things used to be for women, like, not even that long ago, 2006, dude. To be honest now.
Yeah, there are people who hold these exact same ideas now.
Oh, you know there's somewhere who's like, you know, it was a really good time? Turn of the century, 1900s. And I could just, women didn't have the right to vote. Like this, at least he doesn't get there. He just only disrespects him.
He's that Adam Carolla level with it. He's very soft and milquetoast with his beliefs as opposed to just saying it because he can't deal with the backlash because he has no backbone.
He's Bill Burr before he got married.
Oh, God, that's good. That's a good one. And in closing, this guy is a total beta. Only a beta would write a book like this.
Yep.
And then say, I enjoyed living it, and I'm actually an alpha who has sex with a bunch of women. No, you're a beta, dude. I'm sorry.
Here's a hot take. Max Tucker is the guy in One Guy, One Jar.
Have you ever seen them both in a room? I don't think so.
Have you ever seen him in that jar in a room? Well, on that note, good night, everybody.
Good night.